Welcome to the Classy Ring Guitar Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Apparently from the North freaking Pole. You're wrapped up in a blanket right now.
It is cold.
It's the summer. I have the AC going.
It's cold here.
I'm sorry.
All right.
It's 90 freaking degrees outside.
That's nice. It's nice summer weather.
Okay, whatever.
All right. So, wrestling happened.
Yes, wrestling happened.
Geez, what happened this week?
They finally stripped Daniel Bryan of the championship.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I get wanting to put that off for as long as they possibly could until they knew for sure he wouldn't be able to make it to Money in the Bank. And we'd always said that, you know, if he couldn't make it to Money in the Bank, go ahead and strip him of the title. But if he can, you know, it's fine him missing payback.
Yes.
So, 2020, or, you know, hindsight or whatever, you know, yeah, you probably should have done it sooner, but I understand waiting.
Yeah.
No. I understand putting it off, and as many jokes as I've made about it in the past, I get it.
Honestly, like, I think everything was correctly handled. I know it sucks to strip a title from a champion.
Right, but
especially your main flagship title.
Right.
And this will go down in history as, like, one of those times the title was stripped from somebody.
Right.
Kind of things.
But also adds to the whole list of crappy ways Daniel Bryan has lost a major championship.
Yes. But honestly, like, though, I'm okay with that. Like,
right.
He got the WrestleMania moment. He got the storyline. That was the big thing. Him ending WrestleMania, holding the championship. And they clearly did not have a follow-up for that.
Right.
That's why the Kane thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't have... And that's fine, because I totally get... You go to WrestleMania, you make it through WrestleMania and say, now what?
Right.
But yeah, they did not have a follow-up for that.
They didn't have a what happens after, you know, situation going.
Yeah. And now Daniel Bryan can take his time, get really better.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he doesn't have to hurry back.
Yeah. And then come back to a major pop, and we get the whole Daniel Bryan's an underdog story all over again.
Right. And, you know, I'm assuming he gets some sort of rematch when he gets back. So, yeah. You know, it's not like he's going to have to fight for very long through the muck.
And was anybody really looking forward to that stretcher match anyway?
Lord, no. Because, so. I mean, put the greatest wrestlers of all time in that match, it's still a freaking stretcher match.
Yeah.
No.
So, I'm much more excited about Money in the Bank now. I'm much more excited to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've changed the Money in the Bank ladder match into a championship ladder match that just has, what, six people, I think?
Total or so far?
Total. Six or eight. I don't know. They like even numbers. I know that much. Now we were all, you know, sitting around wondering if they're actually going to have a separate Money in the Bank match.
Which I think it's dumb to not have a separate Money in the Bank
right.
match.
Right. Like, they've always liked having two in there. I know they weren't thrilled about having two briefcases, but now they have a situation where they can have two matches and have
two briefcases.
Right, and only have one briefcase.
Yes.
So I feel like that only makes sense
yes,
to do that.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's no reason. And I think that if you don't do it now, it'll be another year before you get to have that
mm-hmm.
Money in the Bank briefcase, you know, little story plot development.
Right.
And over the head.
You know, you don't have to scrap whatever plan that they were having. You can still have your plan for who was going to be the champion or whatever.
Yes.
You know? Or not the champion, the Money in the Bank winner,
the Money in the Bank
I should say.
Unless you're having, like, John Cena win Money in the Bank, and you stick him in there with, like, Zack Ryder and Yoshitatsu, and, like,
right.
Oh, I think we're giving away who's gonna win this one.
Right. So, because, the big problem last year was, you know, the heavyweight Money in the Bank briefcase match, it was clear that they did not have a plan.
Right.
You know, and they did the whole, you know, we don't really need to touch on the whole Damon Sandow thing.
He did interpretive dancing this week.
Oh.
Last year's Mr. Money in the Bank came out in a leotard and did interpretive dancing this week.
And as always, you can follow us on Twitter. Can we just end this? Like, no. No.
So, yeah, that's a thing that happened like that in that order.
Why do you have to bring us down?
Just gotta lay.
Why do you have to just, you know, just take us out to pasture, like, first thing in the podcast?
Lay out the facts like they are.
You just we were doing fine, and then you just, you know, took old Geller out back and shot it.
Spoilers.
Oh, I'm so sorry if I spoiled old Geller to all the wrestling fans out there.
Also, Seth Rollins. Honestly, it wasn't, like, any great, you know...
revelation or anything.
Did it for love. You know, it was me all along.
He did it for The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, I wasn't expecting that big of a explanation anyways, because basically he just repeated everything Triple H said. You know, he evolved. Wink, wink. Nod, nod.
Yeah. I was a little let down by that. I was hoping for some sort of retcon conspiracy theory.
Right. No, but yep. Instead it was like, I decided to change things up, you know.
So.
And destroyed some more chairs.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we usually get in these kind of things. But I was like, is this the Shield this time? The Shield's done everything else better.
Different and better, yeah.
So maybe they'll do this better, but I don't know. This is my fault, not theirs. I expected too much from them. I understand that.
Right, and it's still early.
It is still early.
You know, it's only been a couple weeks since the big turn happened.
And I don't know physically how they're going to match this up. If it's going to be Evolution and the Shield, or if it's going to be like Seth Rollins specifically against Dean Ambrose or something, or
right,
you know, any sort of combination therein, maybe like a 2-on-2, so Triple H doesn't have to keep getting in the ring.
Right, because, you know, I'm assuming by the time people listen to this, SmackDown is either happening or has happened or whatever, but spoiler was they added Bray Wyatt to the Money in the Bank ladder match, and John Cena is going to be added soon.
Yes.
So there takes out that whole, you know, insert John Cena into the Shield, which you kind of felt like was happening. You know, they added him to the match at the end of the Raw, and they're like, oh lord, they're inserting John Cena into the storyline.
Well, I would honestly rather John Cena get inserted into the Shield than the champion is vacant, panic, and throw it on Cena again.
Well, I mean, which he's in the Money in the Bank.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's what we're risking.
Right.
So, and is this, somebody can fact check me on this, because I'm not 100% sure that I'm right, but is this the one, this next championship will either tie Ric Flair's record or be one away from tying Ric Flair's record?
Take one away. Yeah, because it was something where John Cena said recently, he said he was 14-time
maybe
champion, and Flair's 16.
Is Flair 16-time champion?
So, one away.
So...
so now we're getting to the point where, like, they really need to... if he's going to break it, fine. But they're going to figure out to, like, plan out exactly how they want the remaining times to be.
If he's going to break it, fine. You know, you can agree with it or disagree with it or whatever, however right. you want to feel about that. But if he is going to break it, I would like them to make a big deal of him breaking it.
Right. Not just be like, oh, Cena wins again. Oh, it just happens to be this many times. Right.
Yes.
You would like it to actually mean something when yes. he does. Right.
I mean, if I didn't worry about Flair's health so much, I would like Flair to come in and try and stop him.
Right. Well, he's been cleared medically to at least appear on TV on a full-time basis.
Yes, but I don't know what that means.
I don't either, and I'm not so sure if I want that, especially considering, you know, his recent appearances have just felt so weird and awkward.
Yeah.
Especially the Evolution thing.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know, it just felt weird.
It did feel weird. It felt very weird. So, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, of course, I want a young Ric Flair in a championship match against John Cena, because... you know, all the cross-generational things you want to see and can only watch in video games.
Right.
You'd love to see them.
Right, yeah.
Oh, by the way, that also is E3 is this week.
Yeah.
A couple of just minor things about WWE 2K15.
Apparently, they're still using the Ux developer.
They are still using Ux.
But they said that they're going to use more of 2K's in-house developing, like, scanning systems.
Yes.
Because they, you know, there was a lot of interest, like, oh yeah, we're using a lot of the stuff that we use for NBA 2K14, which I actually just got on PlayStation a couple days ago, and it's, you know, really good, just like the previous couple have been.
Yeah.
So maybe that'll help, but I'm still going to be wary as long as they have Ux on payroll.
Yeah.
And they've, you know, announced, like, a few characters, and I think it's, like, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Hulk Hogan, and Cesaro.
Yeah, I mean, it's all, of course.
People who would, yeah, people you would assume would be on. Of course, the question is, for everyone, is, will CM Punk be in the game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, he might be an unlockable, or DLC, or something like that.
Yeah.
But probably not on the main roster of characters.
I would not be surprised to see him as a DLC or unlockable kind of thing. It kind of depends on what they do with the little storyline mode, the thing that was the Attitude Era and the 30 years of WrestleMania thing.
Yeah, like I haven't really heard anything on exactly like what their version of the story mode will be this time around.
Yeah, so I don't know. What would you want? I'm trying to go through the ones that I remember because there were a couple of like 2008 or 9 had. Or 10, maybe, had the, like, journey to WrestleMania where you like, played through it with 6 different people.
I would like an actual story mode. You know? Not kind of like the older, like, PS2 SmackDown versus Raw games were, like, where you actually, like, either had your own created character or just a character that you wanted to play, and you would just play them out until they got to the championship, you know? And had actual, like, story that you would do. Not like universe mode, where you just go from one match to another, and eventually one character in particular kind of climbs the ladder or whatever.
Yeah.
But I would like an actual, like, you know, story here, or, you know, you would have to, like, do something that led up to you trying to beat Undertaker. Or just, you know, whatever. I don't know, I just don't feel like we're getting a lot of that.
No, we especially have in the past 2 years, because the past 2 years, the Attitude Era and the...
The past 2 years have been much, you know, recreating history.
And recreating specific matches, so you have to...
Do certain things.
Hit somebody with a chair, or, you know, wait for outside interference, whatever you have to do to hit the historical check marks.
Right.
To make this match be the match that it happened in.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I would like, I don't know, backstage segments kind of thing.
Right.
I don't really need to do, like, you know, type in a promo kind of things, or, like, Mass Effect, pick one of the 6 things to say in your promo thing. Although, like, a face-to-heel slide-o-meter throughout the thing, based on how nefarious your wrestling style was.
Well, yeah.
That would be interesting.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, you're not, like, what else are they going to do?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and part of the thing is, so, they have come out and said there wasn't a lot of time for us to do anything to 2014.
Right.
No, it was too far made. We just, you know, just we had to get it out.
Right. Basically, all they needed was a distributor.
Yes.
For that.
And so, you know, I still feel like it takes a while to make a video game, so even though they do have a year, they only have had a year, you know, and so I don't know how much overhaul they have planned.
Right.
You know, my personal interest is in a lot of the, you know, universe mode, the create a character mode, the storyline mode, which I don't know how much, you know, the 2K series is invested in that.
Right.
So that might be a good thing that Yuke's is still there.
Yeah.
Doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I like, and, you know, I don't know if this will carry over, but what I love about their NBA 2K14, it's what I'm playing now, and for the past couple years, they have a bunch of different game modes.
Uh-huh.
Like, a lot of career stuff, kind of like, I don't know what to call it, but basically, like, you start with, like, a certain number of players on a team, and then you can unlock or trade for certain players as you go along. It's not necessarily a season, but, like, you're just building your own team kind of thing.
I would like to build a faction.
Right, yeah. And I don't know exactly how you would, you know, translate any of these different type of game modes or anything like that to a wrestling game, but it would be nice to have a wider variety of game modes.
Yeah.
You know?
But, like, you know...
Which I guess you kind of have that with this one. You have, you know, all the history of WrestleMania stuff. You have your universe mode, then you have all the stuff with The Undertaker that you can do in this one.
Yeah.
So I guess you kind of have that, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I would be interested, because a big thing that I like about that is the cross-generational thing, the you know, Macho Man fighting CM Punk kind of thing that
right.
I only get in a video game. But something like Nexus versus S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Four Horsemen kind of thing.
That'd be good.
So, I would like to see that.
Okay.
Honestly, I think it is supposed to come out in October.
Really, because I had heard that they were going to wait till WrestleMania next year.
There have been talk of that, but the latest reports are that
they will do October.
It'll be dropping in October.
Okay.
So, we'll see then.
Yeah, sure.
What comes from it. So part of the thing with Money in the Bank right now is there is nothing else happening on that card.
Right.
Other than this Money in the Bank thing.
Right. And a lot of that was, you know, they didn't know what to do about the championship situation. Yes. So now we're just now starting to see things take form.
Yeah. So we have one match that's been put together.
Right. I feel, you know, of course they're going to do something with Evolution and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what, I don't know. No. Unless it's just going to be 2-on-2 and Triple H kind of goes back into being a manager or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Randy Orton's in the championship match.
Oh, well, never mind. Yeah. But it could just be Seth Rollins and Triple H then against the two members of the S.H.I.E.L.D.
It could do that.
Could do that. I mean, like we said, we would like to see another Money in the Bank. An actual Money in the Bank match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else they would add, because all the mid card belts are gonna. Those guys seem to be in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah,
matches.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sheamus is. Can he beat Wade Barrett? So Wade Barrett isn't.
Right. Okay. But Wade Barrett could easily be in this other match if they decide to do
it. If they decide to do it, but that mean the Wyatt storyline can't continue because Bray is in the thing.
Unless, because when Bray Wyatt was off, the remaining members of the Wyatt family did cleanly beat the tag team champs.
Yes.
So,
that could be an upcoming match.
Right, it could just be a tag team championship match for them, which feels like it shouldn't happen by now, I guess.
Yeah.
At least we would, you know, we'd be okay with it if it happened.
Well, I mean, the Wyatt family is right in this period where, like, the feud with Cena's done. It has to be done.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
So, where do you take it? And you do have this clear, this leader and these two side people. You know, and so, do you split them along those lines? Do you try and keep them as a whole faction doing something?
Right.
All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to get a Rusev match.
Of course we'll get a Rusev match.
Against
it's
who?
Not been 9 months of build yet.
Right.
We need 9 months of build before anybody will take him credible.
Apparently, Zeb did go on Twitter and be, you know, he kind of talked some trash against Rusev. So maybe we get a heel versus heel match with him and Swagger. Possibly. Okay. Might as well.
I would really like to see that because of they're super American.
Yeah.
So there's actual genuine feud to have there.
Right.
And I would like to see Lana yell at Zeb and vice versa.
That would be great.
Like, if we could focus on that and just have a match, like,
I mean,
in the background in the corner, slightly out of focus.
Right. And Zeb did kind of channel his inner Lana
mm-hmm.
whenever he, you know, smacked Jack around to, and he went out, and as soon as he did that, Jack went in and won.
Yeah. So that I could accept.
Yeah, I'll take it. All I know is Rusev does not need any more accessories. He adds a new one every week. He's got
the flag. And
he's
the
got Lana. He's star. Got the star. He's got the flag. Now he's got a giant flag. Like, you're doubling up on flags, and that's...
Oh, because he has the flag deferling from the ceiling?
Yes.
Yes.
That one, that's a bit much.
It is indeed a bit much, isn't it?
At least he doesn't, like, have a little podium thing that he used to come out on.
Oh,
back before he wasn't wrestling. Remember those good days when he just came out and stood there?
Just wait. He'll be coming down the ramp in, like, the little WrestleMania 3 mini rings soon enough.
Oh, God.
Yep, soon enough.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I can see it.
Bold prediction. I don't know, there's, like, honestly...
Depends on how much far they want to go with the whole Russian thing, you know? One week he might come down on, a, like, riding a bear.
carrying like a framed picture of Vladimir Putin.
Framed? Come on, he's gonna have a hologram. If not Vladimir Putin himself.
How about a tattoo?
Well, could be worse. Could be Tensai face tattoos.
Tensai, what has happened to Tensai? When's the last time you've seen Tensai?
They changed his name to something Albert.
Does he do something?
On commentary, yeah, he does. Jason Albert is his name now. He does commentary on NXT mostly now, but they had him a lot on pre-WrestleMania stuff.
I remember him as Jason Albert. Yeah. I remember him being on the pre-WrestleMania stuff.
Yeah. He does a lot of the... One of the people on NXT. They have, like, a rotating commentary.
Okay, group. I was like, he wasn't on TakeOver?
Because, basically, it's Byron Saxton, the other dude, Renee Young, Jason Albert, and then, like, a couple other people. There's a lot of people commentating on NXT.
Yeah.
But they rotate them. Sometimes I'll have, like, a four-person booth.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But it's not bad.
I usually watch NXT on mute. And that's not, like, a... commentary on...
It's just that you're doing other stuff. Yeah. Because you're usually watching it while you're at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair enough. I figured as much.
So, yeah, no, it's...
That's when I watch NXT.
As you can tell, there's not a whole lot to talk about this week.
Yeah, and we've been going for, like, maybe 20 minutes?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. So, the championship stripping was the pinnacle story.
Say it slower. The championship
stripping?
Yeah.
The stripping of the championship. The championship removal. I don't know what to call it. But it was the main story.
Holding the championship in abeyance. Vacating title. The return of the almighty vacant.
I guess vacant does hold the title now.
He does.
Does he hold it on WWE.com?
I'm going to check my phone while we're talking.
But it's kind of held the entire... locker room, it's the entire WWE universe has been captive on this one story. Right. And part of that is timing. Like, in all honesty, part of it is Money in the Bank, and it's a thing that happens at this time every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gimmick that, because of the gimmick, it's, you know... So I get that part of that is bad timing.
You're right.
But there is a problem that... I care about literally nothing else.
Right.
You know, there's no storyline. I can't even tell you another storyline that got furthered. I guess the Summer Rae and Layla storyline.
Right, and the whole milk thing.
Like, just trying to dig into that. And, like, the Cody is sad storyline. Mm-hmm. And that's something where, like, okay, that needs 4 to 5 weeks of this to happen, you know, of right. filler match where Goldust and new partner loses.
He did tease for someone that Goldust has never seen on next week's show.
Kevin Hart?
No. Yep, look at that. The almighty vacant.
Vacant.
Is the champ.
Vacant is the champ. That has happened more times in the past year.
Yeah.
Than... Oh, man.
A long time.
They are getting their money's worth out of that vacant graphic.
No kidding. So yeah. Because, you know, it's easy to point towards whoever is on the verge of moving up from NXT and be like, that's the guy. But the guys that are coming up now, it feels like they should have a bigger ordeal, you know, a bigger debut.
Yeah.
Than... Oh, the guy that he's just going to get matched up with
Goldust.
Because really, right now, the main people that you think of is Adrian Neville and Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Both guys, you know, I feel like probably we're going to get a better
debut feud.
Yeah.
Or debut storyline.
Or grander stage or whatever.
But
I don't know who else. Like, El Locale, maybe? I mean, I'd be okay with that.
I'd be okay with that. But, I mean, but here's my point, though. Literally, I went into this Monday night really only caring about one story. And I think everybody cared about one story the most with the Shield thing.
Right.
Because we didn't know that the, you know,
yeah, this really was the only story it felt like. Yeah.
But that was the thing is, like, caring about one story the most is a big jump from caring about one story at all.
Right.
And that's where we're at, is I'm caring about. And now, you know, and there's two major announcements, because the title mm-hmm. was a thing, and we didn't know that was going to be a thing when it was a thing.
Right.
But it was. And just, can you not do something else in your 3-hour show?
Right, yeah.
And, like, just trying to, like, go through the show, there was, like, and there's some stuff, like, I get, you know, I get slow burns, I get builds. So, like, the Cody and Goldust thing, I get that we are in the middle of 5 weeks, random, you know, random number, but, like, 5-6 weeks of this same thing happening over and over again. So I get that, and I get that that's a storyline there. But what else? Like, the Swagger versus Santino match was there for what?
I don't know. Just remind us that Zeb Coulter's a thing.
And if you want to do a Zeb Coulter or a Jack Swagger versus Rusev thing, that's fine.
Yeah.
You have a thing for a feud there. I mean,
it's like a ready-made feud.
Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe they want us to follow them on Twitter and use the app, and stuff has to happen exclusively there, so we'll go to that.
Right. But you have to hold the attention of the people who are actually watching their show, too.
Well, I feel like I would go to those things when the show doesn't satisfy my thirst for information.
Whatever. Right.
And then I'm not going to go, you know, watch a match on the app or mm-hmm. Twitter, because I can't watch a match on Twitter. But I'm not going to go watch a match there. I'm not going to see the actual physical part of wrestling, but I might see some storylines develop, that kind of thing.
Right.
But if I don't see what happened on Raw to indicate storylines, and it doesn't have to be much, you know, the Rusev, Jack Swagger thing, just for example, like, have the matches happen in an order so that, you know, Jack Swagger has to remove the Russian flag from the pole stand so he can put an American flag in it.
Right.
Or the other way around. Like, it's not, you don't even have to have the two guys out at the same time to further this story.
Right.
You do that, and then, you know, that's like, oh, let me go to Twitter to see what somebody's reaction was
right.
to that flag. Because that's what they would react to. You know?
Right. Yeah.
And that doesn't happen. And I feel like, and part of it is, I still don't think they know how to handle Twitter properly.
No, Lord, no.
I still think there's a lot of, you know, wrestlers just putting out what they feel. And, you know, half the time, they have to, they get instructed to put in kayfab stuff.
Yeah. Like, you can definitely tell on certain wrestlers' Twitter feeds when they're just being themselves on Twitter or doing stuff that they were instructed to do.
Yes.
Like, you can definitely tell, like, with the wording, the overall cheesiness of it, you know.
And, I mean, and there's some people who half live in kayfab anyway, and so it's, like, kind of hard to tell.
Yeah.
Like, Hogan's, like, tweet about joining the Shield thing.
Yeah.
Where, like, you know, probably wasn't instructed by the WWE to tweet that.
Right.
Probably tweeted that himself.
Mm-hmm.
But still tweeted it in character as Hogan, probably.
Right.
Halfway, at least, you know. So, it's just, I don't know. To try and I get that they're trying to leak stuff into this reality era kind of thing.
Right.
There was the Dean Ambrose Mick Foley feud that never happened, that was based off of,
from a few years ago,
a YouTube video. You know, there was like some, there was, they uploaded YouTube footage that was supposed to be from a fan that saw something
right.
at WrestleMania kind of thing. You know, Mick Foley wrote mean things about Dean Ambrose on his blog. I don't know. Is it a good thing? Is it worth it to try and really see if these guys don't like each other?
Sure, yeah. I mean, anything's worth a shot, yeah.
Okay, but, I mean, has there been a successful attempt at that yet? I feel like the second, like, you know, you can look at, like, oh, this guy is legitimately mad at this guy. These backstage politics are legitimately happening. This person is upset about something. But the second they decide to settle their differences in the ring, that just screams, oh, nope.
Right.
This is a storyline the whole time.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's easy to say that, you know, especially when it ends up in the ring. You know, it could just be something that started in real life and then it just kind of picked up. You know, once they saw that people got interested in it and that picked up steam, then they decided to go with it and do business with it.
But I don't know how well they can manufacture that. Like, the thing that pops immediately to mind is the Edge Matt Hardy Lita
right.
thing, which was a real thing that went into the ring.
Right.
But I cannot think of a successful manufacturing of that.
Right. Especially in the, you know, current social media landscape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it can be done. It can't be that hard. But then again, like you said, WWE is still confused about how they want to use this stuff.
Yeah.
So really, it's just a matter of them figuring it out.
Is tout still a thing? Like, is tout still out
there? I hope that they've pretty much have accepted that was a failure.
Like, I know they have, and they don't spill out the touts anymore and constant, you guys should tout.
But yeah, because the network is their new thing to plug.
But I'm curious, if you go to tout.com, will it still be tout? Can you still sign up for a tout account?
Yeah, you can. So. I'm pretty sure I've seen someone post something recently.
Really?
I don't know exactly. I didn't actually click on it because it's
tout.
Yeah, Vine and then Instagram pretty much mullered.
Cat was the wrong horse to back on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So.
Because WWE didn't know anything about Instagram now, and now they're all over Instagram.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And then, just for good measure, WWE decided to go on Snapchat, too.
I can Snapchat with WWE?
I mean, they won't respond. But, like, do you know anything about Snapchat? Because I might have to explain to you what Snapchat is.
I know what Snapchat is.
Okay. But you also have this thing called, like, My Story, where you can post it to where everyone that you're friends with on Snapchat can see it.
Okay.
Oh. And so that's the only way that they
interact. So that's how they use Snapchat. Right. Okay.
Right. That's how they do. Now, you can send snaps to WWE. I don't think there's any way to block it. And that makes me think that they see a lot of wieners.
That is. That's
the running joke. Yeah. Is that WWE probably sees a lot of wieners on Snapchat.
So I'm just going to go ahead and stop my application for intern at WWE.
You're going to be our quote-unquote social media ambassador or whatever.
You know, there's one guy, like, he gets to WWE first day and they put him in a room with an iPhone and lock the door.
Well, honestly, a lot of the stuff that ends up on Snapchat, like that stuff that they put out, is, you know, backstage stuff that's, like, in an elevator, that stuff, like, just happened. So it's like, wow, that's someone pretty high up, because there's not that many people in that room with something important just happened.
Yeah.
So maybe one of the McMahons or Helmsleys is looking at all these dick pics.
I'm assuming
by now they're probably like, yeah, you shouldn't look at this stuff. You know. Because the same thing, like, at midnight, they're also on Snapchat. You know, they don't use it as much, but they're also there, too. So it's like, okay, they probably see a lot of wieners, too.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I don't use Snapchat that much. I'm just assuming there's a lot of wieners on it.
I think I've sent one Snapchat in my life.
You're on Snapchat?
I am on Snapchat.
Why? How you never showed up on mine?
I don't know.
Because usually, like, people that you have, like, you have their phone number, and they're on Snapchat, it'll show up.
Okay.
Like, oh, this person that you know has Snapchat.
Well, I'm not sure Snapchat's still on my phone. I might have taken it off my phone.
Okay, that's probably not the worst thing.
Honestly, here's something I genuinely wanted to talk about.
Okay.
Because I didn't do the research. I don't remember. I think it was either Brad Meltzer or some guy who makes his living reporting on wrestling.
Okay.
For the Wrestling Observer, I think. Mm-hmm. And he swore off TNA.
Okay.
And he basically wrote an editorial about why he was like, I'm done with TNA. I can't. There was, and he's like, you know, honestly, he has covered TNA since its inception.
Right.
And he's like, nope, for a month, no TNA. TNA is in timeout.
Right.
Now, I haven't watched TNA in a while. I fell off TNA.
A while back, yeah.
Yes. No regrets. But I here's the thing. TNA, I mean, is by all accounts bad. It's bad storyline. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't have to be bad wrestling. They have genuinely talented people. They're losing their genuinely talented people.
Right.
But, I mean, and, like, I feel like even if they could not get genuinely talented people, I feel like there's enough genuinely talented wrestlers out there in the circuits, you know, scrounging away for nothing that would take a TNA contract, because mm-hmm. it's still a TNA contract kind of thing.
Right.
That, that they should be able to have talented wrestlers, and I don't know if this is all the blame on the writers, on creative, on
whatever, yeah,
what you have there. But is there, how much of, and is there any hope for TNA?
I mean, as a wrestling promotion, sure. I mean, because it's still in good shape compared to other small wrestling promotions.
It still has basically, it has the one advantage of being on Spike.
Right. Having a nationally televised product once a week.
Yes.
But
its numbers, I mean, not even comparing its numbers to WWE numbers now, just compare, like, TNA numbers today to TNA numbers last year.
Right.
Or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago.
Yeah. They're bad. Their actual in-person turnout is embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I saw they did a show at a baseball field, and I'm pretty sure we've all seen photos of just all the empty green seats.
Mm-hmm.
For a second, I thought they were in Greensboro, because they looked a lot like the Grasshoppers Coliseum.
No, I would have gone.
I would have gone, and, you know, we would have sat together, but by ourselves, because mm-hmm. no one else would be there.
Yeah.
Those stuff like that, you're kind of like, oh, that's depressing, you know? Or if you see, like, the map of exactly how they seated a certain stadium or whatever, it can be depressing. Maybe they just need to adjust their expectations a bit for stuff like that. Because that, like, when that gets out, that, I don't know if that's damaging to their image or whatever, but it's got to be embarrassing.
Yeah.
When stuff like that gets out. A way to avoid that is, you know, tapering that back a bit. And, you know, still, they can still benefit the fact that they're on TV once a week. No other wrestling promotion other than the WWE has that kind of...
I think Ring of Honor has.
Ring of Honor, yeah. But you know what I'm saying. Like, not many other promotions have that ability.
Yes.
So they need to hold on to that advantage, but also need to taper their expectations. And, you know, just put together a better product. That's where it all comes down to. Like, you know, they're on TV, yeah, but their product is terrible.
Yes.
Like, it all comes down to content. Their content is god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not necessarily the wrestler's fault, because they're doing what the people that signed their paychecks, you know, told them to do. So there's that, you know, and you can only control so much with that, with certain people in power or certain people writing things. So I don't know. That's all I can say, really.
Yeah. I mean, so they have...
Until they put together a better product or, you know, better writing, or they need an overhaul, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what could TNA do to get your business over a 4-week period? All right. The guy swore off TNA for a month. Mm-hmm. So let's say if we started now, swore off TNA for a month, knew that we were going to go back in 4 weeks, 4 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
What could TNA do in those 4 episodes that we're not seeing to go back and not just turn right around again?
Probably would help to hire a new writing staff.
Well, yes.
There's that. Like, because they don't even have to get rid of their talent. They don't. They don't have to. Like, that's something that I always got pissed off about people complaining online about. It's like, oh, they need to fire their entire roster. No, the roster's fine. The roster for WWE is probably as good as it's been in a long time right now. The roster for TNA, I'm sure, has its high points. And there doesn't seem to be as many, you know, part-timey, older guys who are established in other promotions and getting paid way too much.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like they have that as much anymore. I'm it's still very, you know, rampant, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But their roster is still, you know, by all accounts, solid. So you don't have to hire the whole freaking roster. You need to do something about creative. That's the, at least that's how, the best way to get me, is find a compelling storyline and something that's going to want me to tune in every week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from week to week. And yeah, WWE doesn't always do that themselves, but every now and then, like, I'll watch it because I know any second something can happen.
Yes.
That I didn't see coming. And
it has been a long time since I've seriously contemplated dropping WWE for a while.
Right.
I remember it specifically. It was, because it was the night that Nexus, like, first debuted, that first invasion. Because that was a 3-hour, back when they still had 2-hour episodes.
Oh, well, you're talking about before they invaded?
Yeah, it was the night.
So everything leading up to that point.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So, because it was that episode, because there had been nothing for a while, because that was, mm-hmm. like, through the pocket of Suck.
Yep.
And it was a 3-hour viewer's choice episode of Raw, back when they only had 2 hours. And it was about halfway through that episode, I was like, I might take off the summer.
Yeah.
I might watch, like, I'll come back for SummerSlam and maybe like 2 weeks before SummerSlam just to see what's happening.
Right.
But I think I'm gonna try taking off the summer. And then Nexus invaded, like, right, later that episode.
It's like WWE knew exactly how far to push their limits almost, yeah, that time. I don't know, it's just they need to do something different. You know, they don't need to be WWE. They don't need to.
They can't be WWE.
Right. They don't have the ability to right now. They don't have the backing.
I think you get one person that you're willing to put that stupidly big paycheck on.
Right.
If they can afford it. I don't even know if TNA can afford it right now. Like, right. I don't know what their financial situation is.
Right.
But, you know, Sting was a fine person to do. Sting is an older guy, a super established guy, mm-hmm. that can still go in the ring.
Right.
Like, if you... I don't know what Sting's situation is right now.
A lot of rumors.
Yeah. But, like, you get one guy. Jeff Hardy would be another example.
Yeah.
One guy. You don't need to stuff your roster with him. Mm-hmm. But one guy to come in and make me go, ooh, I want to see that guy do that thing that that guy does.
Right.
And that's it. And then while I'm waiting to see that guy do that thing that that guy does, you know, you have one other guy cut a super biting promo on somebody else, and you have two mid-carders put on the match of their life.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that would be a great way to do it.
Because I will go away from that episode liking one of those three guys.
Right.
Either the one that cut the biting promo or one of the two that worked their butt off, and I will be excited to see them again the next week.
Right. So. No, yeah. I'm right there with you. Something compelling is what we're looking for. Right now, TNA does not have really anything compelling right now.
No.
So.
So there you go.
Yeah, that pretty much covers that.
Yeah. All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire. We live tweet every Mondays and appropriate Sundays. You can also follow at DiGiorno, who has continued...
They're wrestling. This is a new plug.
I don't care. As long as they do it, I will plug DiGiorno.
We are not sponsored by DiGiorno in any way, but if they want us to send us pizzas, absolutely.
You would enjoy yourselves to follow DiGiorno,
like,
on Mondays.
It's becoming a point because it's no secret that I'm the one in charge of Twitter, especially during Raw. And just in the middle of everything, I just have to just announce to everyone who's sitting there exactly what DiGiorno just freaking tweeted, because it was brilliant.
Yeah.
Ha. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, if you're a DiGiorno and you want to get in contact with us, the best way to do that is sending us an email to classyringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. You can find us there. You look us up, you subscribe, give us a rating of
5 DiGiorno pizzas.
Maybe write a review. All that stuff would be great to help out the show.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.com or rest on that.
Try that one again.
And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you'll get a pizza out of it.
Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Pizza!